What I want to speak about this morning is about fighting the right battles. And it's going to be a little bit of an interesting discussion because we're going to be going through a few different things. So hopefully it will be something that will help people for where we're at as believers and what's actually happening in our world. So let's start, first of all, with Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Paul says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what has been received, let him be accursed." I mean, this is pretty strong talk coming from Paul. He's saying, yeah, even if I change the gospel and bring to you another message, let me be cursed. So obviously, he's very passionate about the gospel being presented accurately. But in contrast to this, I want us to look at the next verse, which is 2 Timothy 2, 23, where he says to Timothy, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." So on one side, we've got Paul saying, fight for the gospel, fight for what you believe. And on the other side, he's saying, well, just don't get into arguments about things. As I said before, a couple of years ago, I did a whole series about stay out of the ditch. And there's a ditch on both sides of the road. On one side, there's the whole thing of being an error on this side. But then there's a complete other side where you can get into error there as well. And so I'm going to this morning just touch on both sides of some things that we're dealing with at the moment. Because I believe that God wants us firmly grounded, knowing who we are, knowing what to fight for, and knowing what to leave alone. And sometimes I think we enter into contention over things that we don't need to enter into contention over. What are you trying to do, love?
Well, it makes it a full screen so you don't see all.
That's fine.
Okay.
What do you want me to do?
Well, if you click on that, it brings up the full screen.
Okay. We live in a day and an age where there's lots of opinions. We have news, we have all kinds of things, emails, you name it. Sometimes we can be inundated with everybody's opinion on things. You've got that on one side, but then you've got on the other side the fact that there are times when we need to speak up. We need to have a voice. We need to share. And we need to say what God has put on our heart to say. So again, we've got both sides here. We've got the fact that we live in a day and an age where we have armchair experts and people have got opinion on so many things. And then on the other side, we have the fact that many times we're silent when actually we should speak. And it's wisdom to know the difference and to know when to speak and when to not speak. Psalm 131 says this, David, it's a song of ascents of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Now, this is kind of amazing. This is David, the king of the nation. This is David who was making decisions that affected everybody within his kingdom. And he's saying, I don't concern myself with matters too weighty for me or too profound. And sometimes I think we can end up getting into areas that are way over our head, and we're floundering around trying to come to terms with things when we need to back up and say, God, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to get my mind stayed on you, because when my mind is stayed in you, then I'm in peace. And many times we lose our peace because we are contending with issues. And I think it's a trap that in our day and an age, we can easily end up falling into. So I want to encourage you this morning to fight the right battles. Number one, there is a battle for faith. That is a battle that we are always needing to deal with. And especially in the environment that we are living in at the moment, there's a lot of fear. You don't have to go far to find people in fear. There's doubt, there's questioning, there's uncertainty, there's change. There's all the things that make us easily have to question where we're at and what we're doing. And we need to recognize that there is a battle for faith. That's a battle we need to fight, and it's a battle we need to win. Number two, a battle for the affections of our heart. Jesus, said, return to your first love. Do the first things. Make sure that you are keeping yourself in that place of loving God, reading his word, spending time in worship, doing all those things that make sure that your heart is in the right place. That, again, is a battle that we all fight. Number three, a battle for connection with others. You live with somebody and you discover that, having harmony in your home is something that you've got to fight for. It's worth fighting for. And relationships don't just happen. Relationships have to be fought for, because the devil loves to divide. He's an accuser. He loves to bring contention. So I think these are three main areas that we need to fight for. And I love this verse in Zechariah 9:12. It says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. And I believe that our battle, if you like, is to secure our stronghold. A battle plan always involves establishing a beachhead or a stronghold, that place where you know that you've got the land, that's yours. And from that position, you're able to fight. My encouragement is make sure that you've got that. That's your stronghold. Our stronghold is in God. And I love this phrase, you prisoners of hope. We need to let hope take us prisoner, because that's our hope that keeps us returning to that stronghold. And the devil loves to undermine our hope through disappointment, discouragement, all kinds of things that just want to erode our hope. So hold on to your hope, know where your stronghold is, and fight to live from your stronghold. Having established that stronghold, I believe that there are other battles that we are also called to fight. So number four, a battle for our focus and our destiny. Oh, the devil loves to take our focus. He loves to have us spend hours delving into something, and many times the something is not something that's connected to our future and who God has called us to be. It's just a distraction. That's a battle. Number five, a battle for freedom and values. We live in a day and an age where freedoms and values are up for grabs, and we need to be aware of that. Basically, when people turn away as a nation from following God, they then turn away from the ways of God. And you've got a lot of humanistic thinking that comes in, and we are facing that in our nation. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to be aware of our role in the battle. Not all wars are fought covertly, but God has a place for us in the battle between light and darkness. And it's wisdom that tells us what that looks like. Maybe it's a battle we fight on our knees. Maybe it's a battle that we fight where we speak up and we don't just hold our silence. We have got people, and we need to pray for them as believers, that are standing up to make a difference. They want to be world changers, and they need the support of knowing that they've got people standing with them. So there is a battle. We need to know the battle that we're in and how to fight that battle wisely. Because in battles, there can be casualties. And I don't believe God wants there to be casualties in the body. So Ephesians 4, 1 to 3 says this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think this is a great verse for us to be aware of for the times that we live in, because when you've got lots of opinions, you easily end up with contention. Now, notice that it says in verse 3 that it's a unity of the Spirit. It's not a unity of thought or opinion or information. It's a unity of the Spirit. Most of us have come from a denominational background. Traditionally, what the church has done is it has gathered around truths. So you've got the Baptists, who obviously gathered around the truth of water baptism. But what has happened over the years with denominationalism and people gathering around truth is it has meant that everybody has to think the same. And if you don't think the same, then you need to leave that group. So you've got people who leave that denomination and start their own denomination that has some slightly different thoughts on things. What the Apostolic Reformation has been doing in the body of Christ is it has been removing the denominational barriers, and it's had people meet around relationship and around fathers. Now, I don't know what your family's like, but in my family, I've got two brothers who are very, very different in nature. And one of them is very strong in his opinions. You may have a relative like him as well. Now, I don't agree with my brother's opinions on a lot of things. He's not saved, and quite frankly, I don't like his opinions. But I love my brother, and he's still my brother. And I'm still in relationship with him, even though I have different opinions from him. Now, church is slightly different in the fact that people join a church because they feel like they fit in and belong in that church. and there is a commonality of values and perspective. But I believe within the church family, there also needs to be that freedom of thought and perspective that people are allowed to have without feeling like they're going to be ostracized or put down or disowned or told to leave. If we all have to think the same thing, then we become a factory rather than a family. And God wants families, not factories. So I think it's an important thing for us to remember at a point of time in history where you've got people with lots of different opinions on things. So I want us to go on and have a look at a passage in Romans and have a look at Paul's perspective on things. So we're going to jump in Romans 14, and we're going to start with verse 19. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. I love the group consciousness that Paul's bringing out here, where he's saying, let's pursue the things which make for peace. And we live in a day and an age where, unfortunately, some people are pursuing the things which bring division. It doesn't matter what is happening. The news will always try and find somebody who has a different opinion, so that you have something newsworthy, so you have contention. We live in a very contentious world. And it's quite at variance with the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom is to pursue peace and to build up and make strong other people rather than tear them down. I don't know about you, but I've found that the world out there wants to tear you down, make you look stupid and small. That's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is to build up. Excuse me. So I want us to continue working through this passage of scripture. And if you're familiar with Romans 14, you'll be familiar with the fact that Paul addresses an issue that was a very big issue in his day. In fact, so much so that he addresses it in Romans and he addresses it in Corinthians as well. So what is that issue? Well, it was the fact that the butcher's shop was the local temple. It was eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. So Rome was full of different temples. The worship in the temples was where the animals were slaughtered as an offering to the god of that temple. So we don't have this issue really today, but it was an issue in Paul's time. So let's have a look at how he responded to it. So verse 19 again. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, for most people today, the meat that we eat, drinking wine is not an issue. But Ray and I and our journey as believers don't have to go back too far. I suppose it is a while, about 35 years ago now, when we moved to the States. We helped pastor there. One of the first questions he asked us was, do you have wine with your meal? And we said, oh yeah, occasionally. His response was simply, not anymore. Since that time, Ray and I have not drunk alcohol. Now, that has not been an issue for me. Even before that time, I was unsure about the whole alcohol issue, having flattered with a girl that came from an alcoholic background, having worked with kids that had come from abuse and alcoholic homes. So it was like, yeah, I don't want to cause a fellow believer to stumble by the fact that I drink wine or anything else. So for us, that was something that we decided, no, we're not going to drink. And that's still our stance. For most people in the church, yes, they're happy to drink wine. And that's fine. If you do so, make sure you do so in faith. And that you're not doubting and you're not questioning. So when it comes to passages of scripture like this, the important thing to realize is that many times the situation changes, but the principles don't. So let's have a look at the principles that Paul itemizes through these verses. So I've got them here for you. Basically, one, care for others, pursue peace and build others up rather than tear them down. Two, don't cause others to stumble or be offended by your actions. So it's not just a case, oh, well, bless God, I'll do what I want to do. No, it's like, we're a body. How am I affecting other believers? Number three, if you have faith, have it to yourself. Don't put it on others that they have to be like you. Four, joy is the fruit of faith. Paul said, you're happy if you approve of what you are doing. Your joy will tell you that what you're doing is an expression of your faith. Doubt reveals a lack of faith. That question, oh, should I do this? Oh, is this right? Number six, what is not of faith is sin. It's like, oh, help, ouch. God wants us to live in such a way where we are living in reference to Him. And that's really important. So let's now look at where we're at. So I said, you know, most of us aren't really looking at whether we eat meat or not. It's usually just a dietary consideration rather than a faith issue. But where are we at? Well, we're in the midst of a pandemic. We're in the midst of lockdown. We're in the midst of vaccines and the whole question over vaccines. So how do we respond to that? Well, my encouragement is that we need to look at the Word of God and look at what Paul encouraged us. So let's have a look. Because when it comes to it, especially in the area of vaccines, we've got people with different opinions. Can we have somebody in the church that's an anti-vaxxer without making them feel stupid or small? These are very real questions for where we're at. So again, my encouragement is, let's look at the principles of the Word. Number one, love God and care for others. Caring for others means caring for their opinion. Two, if you have faith, have it to yourself. Don't force your opinions on others. It's their job to sort out what they believe in this area. Remember, come back to Paul. The issues of the tenets of faith saved by the blood of Christ. Those are things that we fight for. But there are some things that just end up being issues of contention that we need to just avoid. Number three, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. It's your choice whether you get vaccinated or not. We're not going to tell you what you should do, because that's your prerogative to work out with the Lord what you should do. Number four, walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the fruit of the kingdom of God. And when we live from the kingdom and display the fruit of the kingdom, then we're going to be people who make a difference. Number five, feed your faith and not your fear. As I said earlier, there's so much out there that is feeding fear. That doesn't mean that we don't get information, but it does mean that we listen to our heart and we listen to the Spirit of God. Bible says that you have anointing from the Holy One and you don't need people to teach you. In other words, you're going to know what is right or wrong by the witness of your own spirit. There is so much out there at the moment. My encouragement is to be aware. We need to fight for our faith. And I love that one, weapons of mass distraction. The devil wants to bombard our lives with all kinds of information. But recognize that all these things are platforms for different opinions and perspectives. Even the news media, it is a perspective. It's not necessarily an unbiased portrayal of the truth. It seldom is. So the onus is on us to find out what we think, what we believe, find out the information for ourselves, but beware of overload of information. Comes back to that whole thing of fight for the stronghold, fight for that place in God, and from that place, look at what other battles God has for you to fight. Let me finish by bringing up a couple of scriptures for you. First of all, Mark 4:24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Notice that Jesus says here, take heed what you hear. And what you hear, you will keep on hearing. And, you know, once we get into things like, just things that are controversial, once you start picking up some of that stuff, you'll keep hearing it all over the place. Because you'll hear what you've already heard. And that will condition you to hear it more. So we need to take heed what we hear. But we also need to take heed of how we hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. So it's not only what we hear, but how we hear. How we hear has to do with our attitude, and it's not always an arrogant attitude that can be a problem. Sometimes it's a gullible attitude as well. Sometimes we're quick to believe everything that we hear, and we don't ask who said it, why did they say it, and what are they trying to produce through what they're saying. So we need to question what we hear and not be gullible. It's interesting that What we hear will determine what we keep hearing, but how we hear can actually position us to lose what we have. It says here, whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Our attitudes can actually cause us to lose what we have. Very important that we look at our attitude to what we're listening to. Let's finish with 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. It says this, now concerning things offered to idols. Remember I mentioned that Paul talks about it to the Corinthians as well as to those at Rome. We know that we all have knowledge. We certainly can say that in the day in which we live. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. When you meet people who are so focused on knowledge, they know this and they know that, and this conspiracy theory about that, and this person said that, and that person was dot, 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 and it just goes on and on. Be aware that knowledge puffs up, makes people arrogant, it makes them proud, it makes them not want to listen. If you're not wanting to listen to others, then ask why. What's happening on the inside? It says, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. How we hold knowledge is important. And I'm going to bring up the Passion Translation for you of this. Now let me address the issue of dot, 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 the issue of the pandemic, the issue of whether to be vaccinated or not, the issue of lockdown, the issue of what our future looks like, the issue of whatever. It seems that everyone believes his own opinion is right on this matter. How easily we get puffed up over our opinions. But love builds up the structure of our new life. If anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he still has a lot to learn. But if a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. I love that. If a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. Are there things to fight for? Yes. I believe there are. But I think the thing that we need to fight for more than anything is that our own heart is anchored in God and that we come from that stronghold of strength where we are anchored in Him, and that regardless of what is happening, regardless of what the future looks like, that our heart is secure in Him. Let's be people who know how to fight from the stronghold.